Okay, if you would turn to John 15, verse 7. I'm going to share the third part of a three-part series entitled God's Rhema Word, Doorway to the Miraculous. The last 2 weeks have been talking about this. The definition of rhema, we saw, Greek word, as opposed to logos, which is kind of the inscribed word. The rhema is the quickened, living, spoken word. It's the word that when you hear it, it quickens life to you. It quickens. It's actually the voice of Jesus in your spirit. And we live by rhema. In fact, he says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. That's rhema in Luke 4:4. And so, I don't know about you, but I love the rhema of God. I love it when I hear the voice of Jesus in my spirit. And in fact, it was occurring to me the other day that what I really love is what I call the stream of revelation. A stream of revelation. The Lord wants to give us a stream of revelation. And I found that God is at times, not always, at times gives me streams of revelation. A lot of times when I'm traveling, I have to drive a bit, about 30 minutes from my the church to my office in Clear Lake. And a lot of times I go down a certain road, Space Center, that's become special to me because I had an open vision out there a couple months back. God manifests himself in the sky, so it's kind of become a special road to ride down. And when I'm riding down it, often now the Lord gives me streams of revelation. I'll start meditating on a scripture or thinking of a concept, and suddenly the Spirit opens. And that's what it's all about. How many of y'all understand what I'm talking about? Taking a shower, you're struggling with something, working on something, and you're pondering, you finally give it to the Lord, and suddenly your mind opens and understanding, and the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to you how to get out of your dilemma. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's what he comes for. That's rhema word. We live by the rhema. And it's important to understand how it manifests, how you hear it. And I'm going to be talking more in the weeks to come about the language of the Holy Spirit. Because when you recognize the language of the Holy Spirit in your day-to-day life, your own struggles, your situations you encounter, how to overcome them, and you become versatile and kind of proficient in understanding the language, then when you're in a significant situation with other people and their need, you can hear the same voice of the Spirit speak to you to do mighty signs and wonders. It's the same voice. The same Spirit that would say, be comforted, I love you, it's okay, I've forgiven you, resist the enemy, he's a liar, you're going to be fine, can be the same voice, lay your hands on that blind eye and I will open it right now and right here. It's the same voice. Amen. So we're schooled in this realm of the Spirit. John 15:7, Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my rhema abides in you. Look at this. That's the Greek. If you abide in me, and my rhema abides in you, you'll ask what you will, it'll be done unto you. Herein my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you should be my disciple. See, the rhema is a power-packed word of life and healing for now. It's the key to all spiritual fruitfulness. You notice, if you abide in me and my rhema abides in you, you ask what you will. At that point, when you hear the rhema, your will and his will is one. What you ask, he does. You're moving in the realm of the Spirit, or as I like to put it, you're literally living from the heavenlies. And God wants us to live from the heavenlies. That's where we live. Your life is hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3. You are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Seated in the heavenly places, Ephesians 2. You live from the heavenlies, seated with him, high above all principalities and powers. You live from the heavenlies, and you speak from the heavenlies. Okay? And when you're in that place in the Spirit, then what you speak happens, and herein is my Father glorified, and you bear much fruit, because then you're enacting and releasing on earth as it is in heaven. That's really what the prayer is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're seated in the heavenlies. We saw that verse, I think I showed it last week, though. Jesus said in John 3, you know, the Son of Man who came down from heaven will ascend into heaven, who is in heaven. And what in the world do you mean by that? Well, he lived from the heavenlies and even told us. He said specifically to pray, whatever you bind on earth shall be what has been bound, and whatever you loose on earth shall be what has been loosed in heaven. In other words, when you live from the heavenlies, you understand that that's the norm, and we're to bring the norm to this realm under the dominion of the evil one by binding and loosing in situations and living from the heavenlies, understanding, listen, this is not godly. Godliness needs to come. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here now as it is in the heavenlies where I live. And I'm going to bind in the name of Jesus this situation, the devil, whatever, on earth. That because I know in the heavenlies that's bound. That doesn't go on. And I'm going to lose in this situation on earth. Okay? Because I know in the heavenlies what his will is. Banana man. There's no sick people in heaven. I really believe when you lay hands on the sick, they either instantly get healed, gradually begin to get healed, or the Holy Ghost will speak to you what needs to happen to get healed. One of those three things. They're instantly healed. They begin a process of healing, like happened with our sister. The Spirit came. It's interesting. When you invite the Spirit to come, sometimes you're praying for the teeth. He heals from other things. He's just waiting for somebody to invite him. Open their heart. He says, oh, I'm glad. And he jumps and heals them. So it's all about being cooperative and letting the Spirit do what he wants to do and minister to folks. Look at Romans 10:17. See, Jesus' whole modus operandi, folks, his whole M.O., was he said, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only speak what I hear the Father saying. Jesus, and this is really important to understand. Are you ready? Jesus did nothing in and of himself. Jesus really, are you ready? Could not heal the sick in and of himself. He couldn't. And it's hard for us to understand that. We think, well, he's God. No, he divested himself of his divinity when he came. Because when he showed up in Nazareth, it says he could only heal few sick folk. And there's another place that says, and the Spirit of the Lord was present to heal. Jesus healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power who went about doing good. Do you understand? So it's Jesus put himself in a position to operate exactly how he wants us to. Because we can't heal. Jesus couldn't heal. Except by the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he did that so that we could understand. We can be like Jesus. You say, well, nobody can be like Jesus. He was God. You know, you don't understand. He put aside the ability of the divinity, and he operated on the unction of the Holy Spirit power. In fact, he said, look, the things I do, greater things than that can you do. Because you're going to be operating on the unction of the Holy Spirit power, and there's going to be a whole lot more of you. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So we're not limited by our own ability. Our limitation is our ability to receive and appropriate the anointing of the Holy Spirit power in ministering from the heavens. And that's a phrase you're going to hear a lot. That was when I was driving down the road the other day, and I was meditating on that phrase, living from the heavenlies, living from the heavenlies, living from the heavenlies. And as I was meditating, all these scriptures began to pop in my mind. All of a sudden, there was an understanding of something. I said, you know, I haven't really seen that. I've understood it, but I've never seen that we're to live from there. That's what it means we're seated in the heavenly places. Our perspective needs to be from the heavenly. We look at this earth as, hey, what I'm here for is to see his kingdom come and his will done on earth as it is where I live now in the heavenlies. Isn't that, this is worth meditating on. Can you imagine living in that perspective every day? You get up in the morning and says, I am in the heavenlies today. I'm going to speak heavenly blessings. I'm here as an emissary, or as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, an ambassador, right? An emissary, an ambassador down here in this captivated, occupied territory, bringing resources from the heavenlies to bring his kingdom come until he comes. Does that make sense? Okay, it made sense to one guy. Does that make sense? Did it make dollars then, if it didn't make sense? Quarters? Are you awake? I heard three voices. Are you comatose? Okay, well, let's go back to the basics. John 3:16. All right. Romans 10:17. All right, yeah, I know you're out there. Look, I'm going to pretend like y'all are awake, okay? So, Romans 10:17. You know, how many of y'all know the enemy doesn't want you to hear this? How many of y'all know the enemy doesn't want you to live a life of power? Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all here actually, now be honest with me, cannot believe that you, even you, could be used of God to do some significant sign and wonder? You really, be honest, you really don't believe that God could use you. Some of y'all not being honest. Come on. All right, let me put it the other way. How many of y'all absolutely believe God could use you in signs and wonders and power? Raise your hand. Now look, there's a lot of hands not going up for either one. How many of y'all just kind of like being kind of in the middle, just floating around, kind of, you know, just make it to heaven, living about the sweet by and by? How many of y'all really want to hear a testimony from someone other than Michael? Not that Michael's isn't bad. Huh? I thought I knew somebody was going to get out of the boat first, okay? It's all about getting out of the boat. Romans 10:17. Look at this verse. Y'all ever heard this? So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Hey, I'm going to show you something new about this verse. You ready? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the rhema of God. Now listen carefully. That's what it means. Both. Listen. Are you ready? Listen. Faith. Listen. Faith comes by hearing the rhema, not heard. Faith comes by hearing the rhema. When you hear the rhema, it quickens your faith. I'm telling you, it's true. Faith comes by hearing. When you hear a rhema word, your faith jumps. That's what that word means. People interpret that all kind of ways. That's literally what it means. Faith comes when you hear a rhema. I believe it's a gift of faith. How in the world in Mark can you say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and you doubt not in your heart? Ain't no way you can do that in yourself. Do you really believe, Jack, if you spoke to that freeway hill over there and commanded it to be thrown into Galveston Bay, there would be no doubt in your heart that it would do it? Well, not a bulldozer, dude. Now, I'm talking about God doing it. Sure, there'd be a doubt. But you know what? If you heard a rhema quickened when you knew it was God, there's a moment of time and space continuum. At that point, you know all things are possible with God. In fact, that word, all things are possible with God, it's interesting. In Luke 2, it says the literal reading of that is all rhemas. The literal reading is all rhemas are fulfilled with the possibility of God's power. That's what it means. And I know that's happened. I've been in situations when the gift of faith, it's one of the nine gifts. It's a gifting. It's an anointing. It's an empowerment. It's a supernatural Superman turning from Clark Kent to a man of steel. It's the empowerment of God comes on you. Suddenly, you can leap the tallest building. You can go faster than a bullet, whatever else he can do. You can do it. And then all of a sudden, it lifts, and you're going, huh, whoa, dude, that was cool. I've had that experience many, many times. It's called the gift of faith, and it's an empowerment that comes on in the moment when you hear the rhema. You understand? Faith comes by hearing, not heard. And guess what? It doesn't come in hypotheticals. You say, boy, if I was in front of somebody and they had a broken arm and they were in a sling and a lot of pain, see if I can get up. No, it ain't gonna, you're not going to have faith for that until you're there laying hands. I'm telling you, when you lay hands on them, that's one of the gifts, the foundations of the Christian life. Did you know that according to Hebrews 6, it's laying on of hands? When you lay hands, at that moment, when you lay hands as a contact, at that moment, faith comes by hearing, because at that moment is when you may hear the Holy Ghost. And how do you hear him? Well, we're going to talk about how you hear him. It's a sense. It's an awareness. It's an empowerment. And all of a sudden, the impossible becomes plausible. The unthinkable becomes natural. And you just say, well, ain't no broken bones in heaven. Where are you living from? Heaven. Right? Would you agree there's no broken bones in heaven? Well, if they do break, they get fixed real fast. In the heavenlies. So, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it in heaven. And at that point, it makes total sense to you. And instantly the power comes. And in front of your eyes, you see, hear bones crackle and there's healing. And you're not surprised. Until a minute later, the anointing lifts, you go, oh my God. You understand? Do you understand how this works? Two people understand. We're moving forward. Mark 11:22. Just a few more places. Faith comes by hearing. Did you get that? Hearing, not heard. In the moment. His power comes in the moment. Mark 11:22. We're actually going to look at what I just quoted. And Jesus answering said unto them, what? Have faith in God. Do you want to know, listen, you know what the original language is there? The margin rendering, the original, you ready? It is, have the faith of God. And it's very different than King James trans, have faith in God. No, the literal is, have the faith of God. Now, how can you have the faith of God? The gift of faith. Did you know that's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12? It is an empowerment. It's supernatural. How can I have the faith of God? Humble yourself. Put you in a position where you need it. And when you're in a position where you need it, when you least expect it, is when he'll give it to you. I've noticed God speaks to me in the context of my need, not in the context of my want. I may want him to talk to me and bug him and say this and that. The heavens are silent. But if I'm about his business and about his will and doing this and willing to get out of the boat, you know, do extravagant things for the Lord, pray for people, I'll make myself available to the Lord, right? Seek the Lord, get up and pursue the Lord. Guess what? I hear him. Then he begins to manifest as I seek and pull near. Proverbs says, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, the honor of kings to search out a matter. See, why did God put gold in rocks? You know, gold is not easy to find. You might find a vein, but gold, the most precious metal, is difficult to find. You have to go and search it out. Yeah, I believe there's a little element of gold in a lot of ore. They have to crush tons of ore to get a little bit of gold. That's how it is. God's riches are found to those that seek it. Verse 23, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, cast into the sea, even not doubt in his heart, will believe that those things which come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. You know, so many people take this verse, and particularly in the Word Faith movement, and they simply pluck it out of context. They say, here's a promise from Jesus. You can say to this mountain, have the faith in God, whatever you ask. And so people try to make this thing work, not understanding, not using wisdom, not seeing the whole picture of the Word of God, understanding. But he goes on to say something that's interesting most people in the faith movement do never refer to. They say, they'll share verse 24, I say to you, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, you'll have. So you have all these people believing God. You ever hear the phrase, I'm believing God for this, I'm believing God for that? I'll be honest with you, the phrase, I cringe when I hear someone say, I'm believing God for that. Something in me cringes, because it's almost like, well, I've just decided that's what I want, so I'm believing God for that. Now, I believe there is a context you can believe God for something, but I think he needs to be one to initiate that it's his promise to you. I don't believe the Word of God is some buffet. We can go pick out what we want. I'm believing God for a pink Cadillac. Well, I'm believing the God Zeus for a chariot. Big whoop. If we pray, 1 John 5 says, according to his will, and we know it's his will, then we know that we have the petitions we have because we pray according to his will. So there's something about I'm believing God for that. I like to say I'm believing God and just stop the for that. I'm believing God. Amen? I'm believing God. And what I'm believing God for, I'm believing God for his will. Whatever his will is. And I want to get in on what he's doing. We don't see Jesus saying, well, I'm believing God for Jerusalem. I'm believing God. He walked around Jerusalem and claimed it and named it. No, he didn't. He wept over it. He was grieved about it. And then he prophesied over it. Said, you're going to suffer like you don't have a clue, and walked away. Where was his faith? You know, all this city building, nation building, pulling down. You don't see Jesus coming against the territorial spirit of Jerusalem, binding it. You bind, you territorial spirit, I claim Jerusalem for the kingdom. He wept over it, walked away. He says, you don't have a clue because of the hardness of their heart. See, people don't understand. There's so much immaturity in the things of the Spirit. But notice what they never go into. A lot of the preachers today is the next two verses. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespass. But if you don't forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive. They never bring that up. And yet, you know, really the former is totally relying on the latter. If you do not have this, listen, a vertical and horizontal relationship with God and your brother, you can forget speaking to a mountain. You can forget the gifts. God's not going to give you the car keys when you can't be trusted on a tricycle. Amen? I heard one amen. Last place we're going to look, I want to show you something. Listen. This is the point I want to make this morning. Listen carefully. When you prioritize forgiveness and mercy and love, God will come behind with the rhema power. That's what that message is. When you prioritize what's really dear to his heart is to love your neighbor as yourself, to keep those relationships right, and the perfect type of that, and I'm going to be going into more teaching on the parable of the sower. Because some seed fell in the stony ground. And you know what the stones speak of? The rock of offense. When you got a lot of offense in your heart, the word, the rhema, cannot take root. It springs up and it doesn't have any substance to it. Like it, when it goes into the thorny ground. All the agendas and indulgences and little dime store demons that trip you up. You know, God's trying to speak rhema into your life. It's falling from heaven and all the weeds are choking it. And you're not seeing any power in your life. So we've got, the message is God sows the seed indiscriminately. He loves us. He's sowing rhema all the time. But for a lot of us, it's falling into ground that's not prepared, or we're clueless. This goes right past. We don't even understand that God wants to work through us. Well, the last place we're going to look, folks, this morning is in 1 John 3. Because I want to show you how that John says the same thing. Jesus said, you can say to this mountain, be removed, but hey, be sure you're forgiving your brother. Otherwise, you ain't even got off first base with God. Deal with those horizontal relationships. Don't walk around bitterness and all gossipy and judging and all this junk. Forget it. When you've got the vertical and the horizontal straight, then God can speak. Well, listen, he says the same thing here in 1 John 3:22. Whatever we ask, look at this verse, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, I love that verse. But he goes on to tell you, listen carefully, what is it that's pleasing in his sight? If you can just be pleasing in his sight, whatever you ask, well, what is it? The next verse, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ, and what? And love one another, as he gave his command. And he that keeps the commandments dwells in him, and he in him, and hereby we know he abides us by the Spirit. See, God has given us his Spirit, and all the gifts of the Spirit, but it's predicated upon our love. You know, there's a verse, wonderful verse in Galatians 5, says faith works by love. Quickened, living, supernatural faith works by love. Have you ever noticed when you're preoccupied with a distraction of a resentment or an unforgiveness or a judgment or whatever, you're not as available to the Lord? You're kind of spiritually dull. When you're ever angry or frustrated or discouraged, then you're not sensitive. Have you ever driven under the influence of a bad mood? D-U-M-B? Officer pulls you over. Jenny, is your name David Little? I'll pick on your husband. I'm sensing you're driving under the influence of a bad mood. Let me see your license. You know what? God has given us a spirit. And let me tell you what. It is selfish to dwell within yourself and all these things. It's selfish because then you're not available to the Lord. And there's some kind of sign and wonder thing, intersection. The angel's been working, gosh, all morning since you got up. You wouldn't believe the complexity of the angelic that they've been working since this morning. It's 3 in the afternoon. They've been orchestrating 18-wheelers and phone calls and faxes and internet and people and see all of it to come together perfectly so that when you turn your head and walk here, there's a need right in front of you. You can move it. Signs and wonders, they've been working all day for you. And at that moment, you're stepping into it and all heaven is watching and God's saying, will she? Is it going to happen? And then at the moment, you're just preoccupied with me thinking about, I just want to go eat food. I'm hungry. God in my stomach. And so here's this thing that the angel's been working all day, and you walk right past it clueless. Am I right? And God is so loving. They all kind of close up shop, you know, put things back in boxes, wheel them away. Well, let's try again tomorrow. You know, maybe we can work. Amen? You know, I'm playing this out, but, you know, this is really, I think, in more ways, the way it really works than we understand. Because in Ephesians 2, he says, God has prepared his works for us, which he's ordained for us to walk in. He has works. Let's pray. Jesus, Lord, I pray for myself first and everyone else here as well, that we would be more available to you than we are. You would help us to break out of the cycle of selfishness and the susceptibility to the demonic, the whisperings of the old familiar spirits that we've heard 1,000 times, knows a lie, but we listen anyway. Lord, forgive us for being selfish, focused, 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 not believe that you, even for being selfish, focused, for being selfish, focused, living about the sweet, for being selfish, focused, 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 for being selfish, focused. Really want to hear a testimony of someone for being selfish, focused, 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 for being selfish, focused. Really want to hear a testimony from someone for being selfish, focused. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. For being selfish, focused, 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 not ready, not ranking a lot of rank for being selfish, focused, not ready, not rank for being selfish, not rank for being selfish. When you hear the rhema, when you hear for being selfish, focused, for being selfish, focused, quickened, you're telling you it's true. When you hear a rhema, I believe it's a gift for being selfish, focused, for being selfish, focused. When you hear a rhema word, you're for being selfish, focused, 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 everybody said, for being selfish, focused, 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 everybody said, for being selfish,